Welcome to the media outreach of Faith Alive Ministries. Faith Alive is a charismatic teaching ministry with current bases of operation in Oklahoma and Arizona. Since the 1980s, Pastor Lloyd and Deborah Merrihew and the Faith Alive team have continued to follow the Lord's mandate on this ministry to teach God's people how to live and live overcoming abundant lives in this world. We believe that the message you're about to hear will inspire, encourage, and help direct you in that abundant life God has for you. Now, with today's message, here's Josh Merrihew.
Joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing it again. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Sing glory to God, glory in the highest. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing it again. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. You are Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing it again. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. One more time. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. Come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let saints their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Now this is why Jesus came. He comes to make his blessings known, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. And he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. This part's a little different, but some of y'all will recognize it. Joy to the world, all the boys and girls. Joy to the world, joy to you and me. Sing it again. Joy to the world, all the boys and girls. Joy to the world, joy to you and me. Joy to the world, all the boys and girls. Joy to the people everywhere you see. Joy to you and me. Joy to the world, all the boys and girls now. Joy to the people everywhere you see. Joy to you and me. Joy to you and me. Joy to you and me. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Amen. Woo. We've done this one a couple times already, but we'll do it again. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lay his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God our King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. This last verse is our Christmas prayer for all year round. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. He is God with us. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Praise God. singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Jubilee, why your joyous strains prolong, what the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. See Him in the manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while our hearts in love we raise. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Excelsis Deo.
Glory to God. All right.
And then this one, I only get to do it once a year, so I've got to do it. No, it's not the Macarena.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He a appeared, and the soul felt its worth.
A thrill of hope.
A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. Oh, night divine. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts, by his cradle we stand. So, led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, there came the wise men from Orient land.
Now listen here, this is why Jesus came right here.
The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger. In all our trials, he was born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weakness, he's no stranger. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace.
Amen.
And chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease.
Sweet hymns of joy.
Sweet hymns of joy. In grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name.
Christ is the Lord.
Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory.
Now sing it to him. Christ, you are our Lord.
Christ, you are our Lord. And we will praise your name forever. Your power and glory evermore. your power and glory forever, forevermore proclaim.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Okay.
That was wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Now, I was going to, actually, somebody mentioned Little Drummer Boy. I love Little Drummer Boy because I am a drummer, because I love the rhythm of the gospel. Jesus said over in Matthew, there's a verse that many of y'all may know that says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, the Message translation there says that I will teach you, you'll learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love it. And God created us to move to rhythm. So I had intended the DVD, decided it wasn't going to work, but I had intended to play the For King and Country version of Little Drummer Boy. If you are not familiar with it, you should become familiar with it. It is my favorite version of Little Drummer Boy. They absolutely rock it out, and it's beautiful. So, again, I have no problem with jingle bells and deck the halls and all the secular Christmas music. I have no problem with any of it. But when I come to church, I come to worship Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
All right. All right. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. The book of Isaiah chapter 9. And if you don't have your Bible, I understand that sometimes happens. My school teacher, I went to a Christian high school, and we started every day. Our first class of the day was Bible class, and we got into the Word. And the Bible class was taught by my pastor at the time. He knew and knows a thing or two about the Word of God. So he used to pick on people. He used to criticize people who would show up to class without their textbook. Well, in the school of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. This is our textbook, this Word, this Bible. So you should have it with you. If you don't, like I said, I understand that. That's fine. Isaiah chapter 9. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for speaking to us through your Word. We honor you. We praise you. We come together to learn from your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, here's my thing. And I learned this years ago from one of my heroes in ministry, one of the ministers that I've listened to all my life and look up to, Brother Kenneth Copeland. I've been listening to Brother Copeland since before I could walk. It is because of people like Kenneth Copeland and Charles Capps and Kenneth Hagin that began to teach my parents the Word of faith. And I make absolutely no apologies for being a faith preacher, for being a Word of faith preacher. Because it is the Word of faith that is the reason that I am alive today. Some of you know some of my story, some of you do not. And I don't have time to go into all the details of it, but let's just give you the short version. And that is this: I was born severely premature. I was tiny. 4 pounds, 4 ounces. I know you look at me and you say, there's no way that kid was ever 4 pounds, 4 ounces. But I was. I was tiny. I was not expected to live. They said he'll never survive. If he does survive, he'll be retarded. And when I say that, I'm not criticizing. I am not using that word to inflame or to be offensive to anybody. That was the medical term that was used. I was not expected to live, and if I did live, I was supposed to be severely mentally retarded. Thank God that Mom and Dad got a hold of the Word of God.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm, If you've got more, that'd be great. Okay. You're good. You're good. They got a hold of the Word of God. They started hearing the word of faith that taught them that it was our covenant right as believers to be healed. That by his stripes, we were healed. That by the stripes that Jesus took on that cross, I know we're talking about Christmas tonight, but the birth of Jesus is 100% linked, because there's been billions of babies born, but only one that died for my sins. Only one that ever lives now to make intercession for me. And so, yeah, we celebrate the birth of Christ, but the reason that birth is important is because of what it led to. But mom and dad began to get that foundation of the word, and they began to speak the word of God over me. They began to speak the word every time. I heard it thousands of times. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, the Amplified Translation renders it as, all your children shall be disciples taught of the Lord, obedient to his will, and great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children.
Yes.
Mom and dad quoted that over me thousands of times. I heard it every time I messed up, every time I sinned, every time they had to deal with me. Dad might put the paddle to my butt. He did. But he said, son, you're a child taught of the Lord, obedient to his will, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure. And I said, okay, I received it. And because of that, I'm alive today.
Right.
All right. Now, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, I have my Bible here, but I also have this in my notes, but it is copied directly from the scripture. I'm not making anything up. I'm not adding to the scripture. I just put it in 20 points so that I can read it. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Amen.
All right. Now, those of you who are familiar with this season of the year that we're in, you have heard probably dozens to hundreds of times, you have heard somebody say, Jesus is the reason for the season. And it's absolutely true. Jesus is the reason that we celebrate. This is the time of year that, you know, we put up all these festive lights. I finally got my tree put up this week. I was running a little bit late. Normally, we're one of those families that goes into Christmas mode the weekend after Halloween. But I kind of got a little sidetracked. Had other things going on. I finally got the tree put up this week. And so, we love the trees and the lights and the decorations. I like driving around and looking at lights. We're going down the road and Melanie points out, hey, look at that. And you know, it's always cool. Sometimes she points it out as we're driving past it at 60 miles an hour. And by the time I get my head turned, you know, I can't see it. I'm like, okay, you're gonna have to point it out on the way back and try to give me an extra, you know, a few seconds. But we do all this stuff and it's all fun stuff. And this is the time that we celebrate the birth of God's greatest gift to mankind. But something that was shared with me, something that was revealed to me some years ago. We were, at this time, this was back in 2000, so 23 years ago. The church that we were attending at the time, we had a 14-month revival that lasted from the middle of 99 through most of 2000, and we were meeting four nights a week and Sunday morning. And so we were just going constantly, and it was an amazing time. God did some mighty works in some people's lives there. It was just a wonderful time. But we were singing a song one night. It's called It's All About You. It's all about you, Jesus. And all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to your ways. So we're singing this song one night, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to my dad. Now, Lloyd Merrihew, my father, knows the voice of the Holy Spirit. I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've never heard an audible voice from heaven, and I'm thankful for that. I don't need to hear an audible voice from heaven. I have the written word of God, and I have the Spirit of God speaking to me.
Amen.
So, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to Dad and says, you're singing this song that it's all about me. And from your perspective, from your place on earth, that's true. But remember this, from where I sit, again, this is the Holy Spirit talking to Dad. From where I sit, it's all about you. He did what he did. God did what he did. Jesus did what he did for us. My friend Rick Mance, Rick was the evangelist that preached most of that revival. And he says it this way. Remember that you are the reason for his season. You are the reason that Jesus came. Now, these verses we read. Now, last year in my Christmas service here and at my church, Freedom Church in Pryor. Last year, I went through every verse in the scripture where Jesus said that I came to do this or I have come to do this. There's several things that he said. One of them that just set me free as a minister is he says, I came to preach. He says, we got to go to these other villages because for this is why I came. I came to preach the gospel to them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says. He reads over in Luke 4. He reads from the book of Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach the good news to the poor. Now, so I spent a lot of time talking about why Jesus came. Now, I want to look in depth at these verses in the book of Isaiah and what they mean to us. Now, I read it out of the New King James. I want to read you the same two verses out of the Message translation. Again, this is Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, out of the Message. For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He will take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, and this one fired me up, the Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits to the wholeness that he brings. He will rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always. The zeal of the God of the angel armies will do all this. Now, tonight's message is called simply, For Unto Us. Now, let's look at these verses in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Unto us, for unto us, or as the Message translation says, for us, this child of heaven, the reason, the one we celebrate, this Jesus who came to earth, who was born in that manger in Bethlehem, for us, this child of heaven has been born. One of the songs we sang tonight, talking about why Jesus came, and that's the reason I do these songs, said, he comes to make his blessings known far as the curse is found. Now, I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself, but I know y'all have heard the story. If you read over in the book of Genesis, and God tells mankind, here's what you're to do. Gives them the first commandment, which is to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. I love the Message translation there. The Message translation, the first word spoken to mankind. There were other words spoken about them, but the first words that was first word rather that was spoken to them was the word prosper. This was God's plan for us. Mankind sinned. Adam committed high treason against God, turned the authority of this planet over to Satan. And God comes in, and God says, He'd already said that in the day you eat of that tree, you're going to die. So, we were operating under a cursed system. But he never cursed mankind. Look at it. Read it very carefully. He said, the ground is cursed for your sake. Cursed is the ground for your sake. It's going to bring forth thorns and thistles. You're going to have to work with the sweat of your brow to eke out a living from this ground. Then he tells the snake, and you're cursed. You're going to crawl on your belly because you've done this. But he never cursed mankind. We were operating under the curse of a fallen planet. And that is what Jesus came to redeem us from. For unto us, I preached this some years back. One of my favorite verses, not my favorite verse, but one of them, is over in John 10:10. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief, that's Satan, that's the enemy, comes only to do these things, three things, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the Amplified translation says, I have come that they. And you can stop right there. I preached from that point right there. I have come that they. Jesus didn't come for himself. He came because of you. He came because of me. We are the reason that he gave his life, as the old contemporary Christian song says. We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. The reason that he came. I have come that they. I have come that they what? I have come that they might have and enjoy. Guys, if you're not enjoying your life, you're doing it wrong. Now, I'm not saying that everything, every day is going to be all sunshine and daisies. I know better than that. Because the same guy, let me finish the verse and then we'll get to this. I have come that they might have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Another translation says a rich and satisfying life. Another translation says life like you've never imagined. Now, yes. Now, I know, as I said, that doesn't mean that every day is just going to be rainbows and unicorns and sunshine and daisies. Yeah, that's not the way it works. Because the same guy that said that over in John 16:33, he says, these things I have told you, that in me you may have peace. Oh, that peace. We're gonna get there. But that peace, the Greek word eirene, the Hebrew word shalom, means nothing missing, nothing broken. It's the word that the Message translation translates as wholeness. These things I have spoken to you that mean in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You're going to have pressure.
But be of good cheer.
I have overcome the world. The Amplified there says, I have deprived this world of its power to hurt you.
Amen.
Now, unto us, a child is born. He has been born for us. He was given unto us. This child was born to redeem fallen mankind from the curse of sin. Galatians chapter 3 says, Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, this Jesus that was born, that we celebrate at Christmas, has redeemed me from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. I love having that cross there. I love being able to point at it because that's the reason we can celebrate this season, is because Jesus died for us. My church at home has one cross in the entire room, and it's on the front of the podium, right about where this candy cane is. And so, when I was preaching this last week, I actually got out in front of the podium and pointed back at it, because I needed to be able to point at the cross. But, good. Thank you, Lord. This child was born. Cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham might come upon those who believe, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right. For unto us a child is born. Unto us. Or again, as the message says, for us this son is given. The gift of Christmas is absolutely and simply that. He has been given to us. There's a song we sing in here. Y'all may be familiar with it. Reckless love. I couldn't earn it. He said, I don't deserve it. I changed that. Because the new creation, you as a child of God are absolutely
absolutely, listen to me carefully, you as a child of God are absolutely deserving and worthy of every good gift of the Father, because he has made you worthy. He has transformed you. He has removed you from the kingdom of darkness, translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son, and he has made you worthy. Now, you didn't earn it, and you, without him, you didn't deserve it. Keith Moore says that there, in you there are four truths. In you, you are nothing. In you, you have nothing. In you, you know nothing. And in you, you can do nothing. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. I quoted Brian Houston. I'm going to quote him again. Brian Houston from Hillsong says it this way. Without him, we can do nothing. And most of us are pretty good at it. But with him, with God, nothing is impossible. That's got dual meaning. That means two things. Nothing is impossible means, yes, that whatever I put my hand to, when I'm with him, when I'm with him, when I'm walking in him and he's in me, then whatever I do is going to succeed. It's impossible for me to fail. But the other side of that is, with him, it's impossible to do nothing. You're not going to just, if you're a child of God, you're not just going to sit around doing nothing. You're not going to be happy doing nothing. You're not going to be satisfied doing nothing. You're going to be like, okay, Lord, what can we do? Let's do it. All right. But this gift is absolutely and irrevocably a gift. All you can do, if somebody gives you a gift, all you can do, all you need to do, all you have to do is receive it. Jesus is the gift of God to the world, a gift to all of mankind that you could not earn, you could not purchase, and you could not merit in yourself. All you can do is freely receive this good gift from our good, good Father. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government of us is upon his shoulders.
Amen.
Where are your shoulders? Your shoulders are part of your body. He's the head, we're the body. So this government, what this says, the government is upon his shoulders. This is our commission as believers to reign in life.
Hallelujah.
Turn over to the book of Romans with me. I don't have this one in my notes, so I'm going to have to turn to it. Romans chapter 5. And, gosh, where do I start?
We
could read the whole thing. Yeah, we could read the whole thing. Because Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. I said that John 10:10 was one of my favorites. Romans 5, 1 and 2. This is my favorite scripture. So we're not going to read the whole thing. I don't have time. But let's go ahead and flip back a page. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And therefore, because of this gift of righteousness, having been justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace. Again, that's the word irene. We'll get into the definition here shortly, but it means prosperity. It means peace. It means wholeness. It means perfection. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access. I preached this for Christmas one year. I preached the message of full access, that because of Jesus, the doorway has been thrown open. There is nothing to ever separate us from our Father. The door to the throne room of heaven is open. We can go in anytime. Therefore, the author of Hebrews says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Skip down to verse 12. This is again Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, we talked about that, Adam sinned, he committed high treason against God, and sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. He says over in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are no perfect people. I joke that I was born saved, but I have screwed it up more times than I care to count. If you ever wonder about that, all you need to do is ask Melanie. She will tell you. I have blown it. I have made some incredibly stupid mistakes in my life, okay? But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right. So all had sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift, again, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We didn't earn him. We didn't deserve him. But he came anyway. The free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Verse 17, this is what I wanted us to see. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive, not those who earned, not those who strove for, those who received. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I wouldn't want to do this on my own, but I receive your gift. I receive the gift of righteousness. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. What will happen when you receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness? It says that you will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The Amplified Translation says that you'll reign as kings in this life. Now, let me say something that may mess with your religious sensibilities a little bit. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard about how this life is training for reigning. We call it basic instructions before leaving Earth. And okay, I've got no problem with that. But this is not a test. This life is what you were created for. We have to operate in the kingdom of God, yes. But I'm not just looking to get out of here and go to heaven. I'm not preaching an escape route. Now, when Jesus comes back and raptures his church, I'm going out on the first load, okay?
Yeah.
When that trumpet sounds, if it's in the middle of one of our services, I hope this room is empty.
Yeah.
Now, if that trumpet sounds in the middle of one of our services and you're left behind and you're still sitting here and the rest of us have disappeared,
you know
where we went. We went home on the first load. It's not too late. You can still make it. Don't, but you're going to have to, you're going to have to trust Jesus. You got to trust Jesus anyway, okay? But we are designed. The government is upon his shoulders. This is our commission as believers to reign in life. We receive by faith the gift of grace and of righteousness. Righteousness that is not just imputed to us. There's a religious theological term talking about Christ's righteousness being imputed on our behalf. And that is true. But the scripture also tells us that we are given the gift of righteousness, that his righteousness becomes ours. Our own righteousness in ourself was filthy rags, was nothing, was worthless. But his righteousness becomes ours. This child was born to fulfill all the prophecies that had proclaimed that the Son of David would once again rule on the throne of Israel. Yes, throughout eternity, our risen Christ was born in a manger in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died the atoning death on the cross. Now he ever lives to make intercession for us. And our ever-living risen Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. However, his government is to be enacted and acted upon by his body in the earth That's us. That's you. That's me. That's the church. This does not mean that we're tearing man-made governments down. Now, are there some really messed up people in positions of power?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But there are also some incredible people, some righteous people that love Jesus, that are doing their best to see his kingdom come. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And they're in positions of power and authority. So, I'm not talking about us trying to tear man-made governments down. I'm not talking about us trying to institute a theocracy on the planet. Theocracy is rule by God. Now, when Jesus returns to earth, physically, and he's coming back, when he returns to earth, we're going to see that happen. We're going to see him physically reigning on earth. But what this means for us right now is that the job of administrating the kingdom of God has been placed on us. It is placed in the hands of the church. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called. All right, let's get into the name here. The name of Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, the New Testament refers to the Holy Spirit as the Counselor, that he is the one that leads us and guides us into all truth. So, this is proof. If you ever needed more proof that all three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are eternally one, eternally co-equal, Jesus is not merely the Son of God. He is not somehow less than the Father. The Wonderful Counselor is Jesus. He is God in the flesh. He is the Holy Spirit who lives and abides in his body, the church. The complete Jewish Bible renders that, where it says Wonderful Counselor, as wonder of a counselor, meaning that this counsel, his counsel to us is amazing. It's mind-boggling. It's jaw-dropping. Sometimes God will tell you something and your mind just can't conceive it. It's like, where did that even come from? But if you'll follow it, if you'll obey it, if you'll listen to the voice of the Spirit, things are going to go well. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Again, this is yet more proof that Jesus is God in the flesh, not a created being, not even the first created being. There is an ancient heresy began to be taught early in the church. The ancient heresy of Arianism was taught by a bishop named Arius. And he said that there was a time when the Father existed, but the Son didn't exist. That the Son, Jesus, was the first created being. That he was neither eternally coexistent with the Father, nor was he of the same substance as the Father. Now, there is an often repeated, though possibly apocryphal, I will admit that this has been repeated. It is in historical record, but a lot of these historical records are tens to hundreds of years after the fact. But there's an often repeated tale that the original Saint Nicholas, yes, the one we know as Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas was a priest. He was a bishop. He was very influential in the early church. And he disagreed violently with Arius about this idea that Jesus was a created being. And as the story goes, depending on who's telling it, he either slapped Arius across the face or punched him in the face. I like the idea of Santa Claus just hauling off and punching somebody, right? It's like, Arius was definitely on the naughty list, all right? But the word of God is clear. Jesus is the mighty God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. So in the scripture, whatever you can call the Father, you can call the Son. This is also why Jesus would say, if you have seen me, talking to Philip, Philip says, show us the Father and it suffices. And Jesus says, how? You've looked at me all this time. How can you say that? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Most of the Old Testament writers did not have a revelation of God as their Father. There was this idea that God was unapproachable, that because he's holy and we're sinful, then there's this gulf separating us. Now, I've talked about this before. One of my favorite moments in Scripture is at the crucifixion, where it says the veil in the temple was ripped in two from top to bottom. Why did that happen? Because that was God the Father saying, I will no longer be separated from my people because my Son has given his life for them. He has redeemed them to me. Now, I'm not staying inside this box any longer. I'm busting out of here, and he tears the veil in two from top to bottom so it can't be sewn back up. And I'm not hanging out in that Holy of Holies anymore. The Holy of Holies is now going to be with my people because I'm coming out. So God was seen as distant and unapproachable. We can't go before God because our sins are too great. Our sins separate us from him. There's only a very few times in the Old Testament. I found five, maybe six, just a handful of them. To references to in the whole Old Testament to God as our Father. But this verse, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, this is telling us that through Christ, God the Father will no longer be separated from his people, but that they would be, that he would be their Father, and they would be his children. The ruling corporation of the universe is God and sons. I don't have time to get into it, but because of Jesus, we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is over in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. And it says that we are seated with him. Well, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That means we are in the ruling class of the universe. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All right, Prince of Peace. Again, this indicates rulership. Jesus is the eternal ruler of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Brother Copeland says it this way, a born-again man sits on the throne of the universe, and his reign, which we are living in. The kingdom of God is here. We don't yet see all things put under his feet. The book of Hebrews says, yet now do we not yet see all things put under his feet. That's why he's still seated at the right hand of God. Because the psalmist says, sit here until your enemies become your footstool. So, we've gone over this peace. This reign is to be marked by peace. We've gone over it more than once, but it's my service. I have the microphone, and so we're going to go over it again. The Hebrew word, H7965, if you want to look it up in Strong's for yourself, is the word shalom. And it translates as peace, figuratively well, happy, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, good health, perfection, to be at peace, to be prosperous, to be at rest, to be safe. Oh. And then the Greek word, G1515, irone. It's the same word. If you read a Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, where you find the word shalom in the Hebrew, you'll find the word irene in the Greek. And it means, again, peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, to be set at one again. Now, as I said, when I read Isaiah 9:6 in the Message translation, it fired me up, Isaiah 9:6 and 9:7, because when I read that, the Prince of Wholeness. We render shalom, as I said, nothing missing and nothing broken. This means that we, right now, right here, are to be living in the overflow, in a surplus of prosperity. Now, let's look at the fulfillment of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And because I have just a few minutes, we will not read the whole story. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 8. Let's pick it up with the shepherds. So Jesus has already been born. He's in the stable in Bethlehem with Mary and Joseph. Now, verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I read all of that. Back up to verse 10. For there is born to you, verse 10. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, I looked this up in every translation I had access to. I put it in any sort, and I looked at every translation I had, and I've got something like 70 English translations in ESORT. And they all say the same thing, that this would be good tidings of great joy to all people. So this puts the lie to the doctrine of particular redemption or limited atonement. I don't have time to get into that, but the idea of that doctrine is that God chose some of us before the foundation of the world, and the rest of us were just left to chance, just left to die. That he elected, that he looked down and he said, okay, there's 20 people there. I'm going to select 4 of them, and the other 16 can go to hell. And when I say that, I'm not cussing. That's what winds up happening if you don't know Jesus. So let's get to know Jesus, but we'll get there in a minute. But see, that's the other thing with that doctrine of limited atonement or particular redemption, is that most of the people who believe this and teach this have the idea that God just gets a minority. I don't believe it. I believe that the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross was great enough to redeem all of mankind. Now, that doesn't mean that all are redeemed, because your part, the thing that you have to do is you have to receive it. And if you don't receive it, then you're not redeemed. So, but if the birth of Jesus wasn't enough, if the death of Jesus, if the life of Jesus wasn't enough to save all of mankind, then it could not be called good news to all people. And this verse says that this is good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Verse 11 parallels Isaiah's writing. There is born to you, for unto us is born this day. There is born to you this day a Savior. This verse proclaims Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing, and the Lord, the ruler of all creation. Now, verse 14, he said, and suddenly, verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, shalom, irene, nothing missing, nothing broken, prosperity and all goodness have come to you because of the birth of this baby. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, several years back, I know, I keep referencing my previous Christmas sermons. One of these days, I'm going to track all of them down, and I'm just going to put together a box set of all my Christmas messages. But there was one year I was typing this out, and that verse says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I'm typing along, and my end key decided to stick. And so it didn't go off when I hit it. It didn't respond when I hit it. And so my notes said, peace on earth, goodwill toward me. And I said, okay, I received that. It is goodwill toward me. Now, here's something cool. That word translated goodwill in the Greek. I don't have the Strong's number for that one in front of me, but it indicates that word goodwill is desire or pleasure or delight. It indicates that God takes great delight in you. God was so delighted with his creation. Remember, he said, looking at mankind and looking at everything that he made, that it was very good. He never changed that. Just because the fall didn't make mankind bad. It made mankind living in a fallen state. It meant we were living under a curse. I said this earlier. But it didn't make mankind bad. What it did is it made mankind lost. The lost sheep that he had to come and rescue. He had to come and bring us back. Mankind was operating as part of a cursed earth. Mankind needed access to the blessing. Now, God's delight is toward you. God's goodwill is toward you. Recently, a few weeks ago, we went to Branson on Thanksgiving vacation with Mel's mother and her family. And while we were there, we got to see the production of the Queen Esther story at Sight and Sound Theater. And I've always loved the story of Queen Esther. It's been one of my favorites, but I noticed something very special this time. There's a moment in the story where Mordecai and the Jewish people are saying to Esther, you need to go before the king and intercede on our behalf because we've been sold to die. And she says, I can't go before him. He hasn't called for me. And if I go before him without him calling for me, then if he doesn't extend that scepter of mercy to me, I'm dead. And finally she says, okay, here's what we're going to do. I want you to fast for 3 days. I'm going to do the same. She doesn't say pray in the text, but it's implied. But they fast. They get on their face before God. And then she says, then I'm going to go to the king. And the famous line is, if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. But I saw this. When she went before the king, his love for her was so great that he immediately turns to everybody around him. She's in a crowded throne room. There's all these nobles, all these high ups in the kingdom. And he turns around and he looks at all of them and says, that's your queen. You bow before her. And he reached out his scepter. He extended that scepter of mercy and righteousness to her. When the king extended his scepter to the queen, it meant that his favor was on her. His goodwill had been extended to you. Now, the scepter of the Father, the almighty ruler of the universe, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, that Prince of Wholeness, his scepter of righteousness, the book of Revelation says that he's going to rule with a rod of iron. That scepter of righteousness has been extended to us. The favor of God is on you.
Yes.
That shalom peace, that irene, peace of God, has been extended to you. Now, I have just a couple minutes. I've got to wrap this up. Now, as I said, I recognize some of you. Some of y'all I've seen in my services before. Some of you I don't. So, let me tell you this. This goodwill, this peace of God has been extended to all mankind. This gift is for you if you will receive it. If you have not received the gift of salvation, I don't always do this because Faith Alive Ministries exists to teach God's people how to live in this world. We are not primarily an evangelistic ministry, so I don't always do this. But led by the Spirit of God, I do what Brother Copeland says it this way. I just work here. God says it, so I do it. So when I was putting together these notes, it was impressed deeply on me by the Holy Spirit that I needed to do this. The gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness, that peace of God has been extended to all mankind, and the gift is for you if you'll receive it. So if you have not received the gift of God's peace to you, then do so tonight. Let me read to you from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9, Paul writing, this is talking about how to become a child of God, how to be saved, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, a lot of people just read verses 9 and 10, but I want to read a couple more verses just to put this in context for you. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever, man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, red, yellow, brown, I don't care who you are, what you've done, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There is no shame. Again, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what has happened in your past, because every bit of that past can be washed in the blood, can be placed under that precious blood. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So tonight, as we close this service tonight, if you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, do it tonight. Don't leave this room without doing so. It is as simple as saying, Father, I believe that you sent your son Jesus for me. I believe that he died on the cross for me. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, and that, as your scripture says, he ever lives to make intercession for me, that he is my advocate with the Father. I believe, and because I believe, I receive that gift of righteousness. I receive that one that was given to me. Unto me a child is born. Unto me a son is given. And my government, the government of me, is upon his shoulders, and he is my wonderful counselor, my mighty God, my everlasting Father, my Prince of Peace. Put your faith and trust in Christ today. Receive that free gift of salvation and peace with God, and remember that Jesus came for you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you. Thank you for sending Jesus for us. Jesus, thank you for coming for us. We receive that gift. We love you. We praise you. Father, I pray right now for every need, spirit, soul, and body, physical, financial, relational, that every need would be met, because you are our Prince of Wholeness. You are our completeness. We are complete in you. We honor you, we praise you in the mighty, wonderful, holy, matchless, phenomenal name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This concludes today's message. This message is copyrighted by Faith Alive Ministries and may not be duplicated for resale or commercial purposes. Duplication of this message by individuals for purposes of sharing the gospel is permitted. However, this copyright notice must accompany all copies made. For additional teaching resources and materials, please write to Faith Alive Ministries, P.O. Box 321, Pryor, Oklahoma 74362. Or you may visit our website at www.faithaliveministries.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, the just shall live by faith.